Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the Pot of Thunder and Rock and Roll. Us here with Duff McKagan's got for us here on the highly anticipated joke of the week.
Chris Jericho, Duff McKagan calling you from Mary, old London. Yes, in London this week, which reminds me, there was a guy up in Scotland, a kid, teenage boy. He comes home and says, Dad, I got a new girlfriend. And he said, oh, yeah, what's her name? It's Amanda. And the dad goes, who the fuck she is? Thank you very much. Goodbye.
It's Amanda. In Scotland, they call dads da. I don't know where Duff pulls these out of his arse sometimes, if you want to talk Scottish. But here's something I do know. A couple weeks ago, I saw one of the best live TV matches I've ever seen. It was on AEW Rampage. It was so good, I booked it on the Jericho Cruise. A trios match with Top Flight and Action Andretti versus Vikingo, Commander, and Penta. So today, I've got Top Flight and Action Andretti here to tell us about that crazy match and also about their AEW stories. We're here how Dante and Darius Martin came to AEW, ended up making their TV debut against the Young Bucks. They also talk about getting started in wrestling, basically in grade school in their backyards, and what it's been like to come back from a couple of tough injuries. Top Flight and Action Andretti talk about their friendship outside of the ring, their in-ring chemistry, how they first met, and what they hope to accomplish this year in AEW. And of course, Andretti talks about the famous match he had with me in Garland, Texas, and shares his initial reaction when I told him that it was going to be him against me and that he was taking the win. So let's go with Top Flight and Action Andretti right here, right now on Talk is Jericho. Last week on Rampage, one of the best matches I've ever seen live, and I'm not just saying that. Like I'm not just shilling here. Was Action Andretti and Darius and Dante Martin against Vikingo and Commander and Penta, and I got the Top Flight boys here. When you guys put that together, did you think it was going to be something special? Do you ever really know for sure?
Not fully. We were a little bit rushing it. A lot of it was in catering. As you probably know, it's pretty hard putting matches together, right, with a language barrier. So that was another thing of already like feeling the rush, but then also
because Penta speaks English, but the other guys don't speak really anything.
Commander actually is getting very good with English. Vikingo is not quite there yet, yeah. But he knows some things.
For mm-hmm. So when you're putting it together, how long did it take to do that?
I would say maybe like an hour and a half ish.
Yeah, we had like we probably like talked. Like 30 minutes, and then you break away from each other,
mm-hmm.
Let it all breathe and register, then come back again. But to answer your first question of if we thought it was going to be as good as it turned out to be, I feel when you have six athletes in the ring together, when you're all in queue and all working together, you really can make some magic happen.
So when we were putting it together, I figured as long as everything went as planned and whatnot, that we would make some magic out there, because all these guys, were so athletic, mm-hmm. Can do so many great things and just great all around athletes and professional wrestlers. So in the back of my mind, I had a little feeling.
It was just one thing after another, though. It's so amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what happens when you're wrestling three of the top luchadors in the world. Yeah. It's nonstop action, but
Must be kind of fun for you guys. Like, you can really just throw it all out there. Like, some matches you have, like tonight you're working with the Acclaimed. It's going to be a different style of match, but that one's just like batshit crazy. Do whatever you can do, right? How many athletic moves can you do?
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. For sure on that one.
Yeah. So how did you guys end up teaming together? Because obviously Top Flight, you guys are brothers, yeah. Darius and Dante, but Action comes in. We got a long story. We'll talk about our history.
Right.
Yeah. But it took a while for you to kind of find your groove, Action. And now with Top Flight, it's a perfect fit for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, when I first, you know, started here in AEW after, you know, we wrestled, Darius was just recently coming back from his injury, and like Top Flight were, you know, just now a tag team again. Dante was on his singles run for a bit, and I think you came back like a month before I like debuted here, so maybe a little bit longer. But once Dante had his injury, and you know, Darius was just kind of doing single stuff for a little bit, me and Darius were literally walking down the hall one day, and Tony came up to us and said, "I'm thinking about teaming you guys up together," which was like really cool. And all three of us all hung out before. We always trained in the ring together before. You know, me and Dante were really close. Even before I was signed, we did a couple independents together. But yeah, me and Darius, you know, we did our thing teaming up. Tony really liked it. We really enjoyed doing it. So we figured once Dante came back, we all three combined together as a trios unit. And it's been a lot of fun so far. It's only been 2 or 3 weeks now, but I think we could do a lot of great things as a trios together.
Yeah, and there's obviously just like natural chemistry. A lot of people know we have this like core crew with like Hook and Bowens called the Lads or whatever.
Called the Lads?
Yeah. The Lads.
So we spend just a lot of time together anyways. So naturally, the chemistry is just there. It's nice to bounce ideas off of someone you're just always hanging around anyway. And I think very similar about wrestling, just the way we like to move around in the ring and put together matches structurally.
And it's interesting because both you guys had injuries, and Darius, you had a couple injuries in a row, right?
Yeah.
And for me, I remember the first time I did a dive over the top rope, and it was called Leon, Mexico. And the guy moved, and there were seats that were bolted into the floor. And I landed right on these wooden seats and fucked up my arm. It was like my first injury. When that happens, it changes your whole mindset of, like, we think we're invincible until you realize, oh, no, like, I can actually get hurt.
Yeah.
Did those injuries help you guys be more careful in the ring? Because, I mean, especially for yourself, you had a couple that you had.
Yeah, I don't know. My case was like the ACL was just up and over training. So it's not like necessarily something big I was doing. And then the other thing was like the car accident. So it's not necessarily something having to do with the style I was wrestling. Because I like to believe that, I don't know, I like think about high flying moves I do and like the risk versus reward on them. There's certain moves I think I'm capable of doing a 450, but I know I'm not going to consistently hit it flat or whatever and hit the target on the same point. And I don't want to hurt other people or hurt myself. So I just think about wrestling in that way.
Yeah, that's all. How about you?
For me, my injury, when it happened originally, I lucked out. I had adrenaline going. So as gruesome as it looked, luckily I did not feel it.
The ankle kind of twisted the other way.
Yeah. And going into PT, it was my goal to, I have like the whole Inhuman moniker going on, so I wanted to keep that going. And I definitely wanted to keep my style going, show people that even with an injury like that, I can come back and do some of the things that I'm known to do, some of like the bottom rope side flip, I'm keeping in there, and springboards for sure. But I'm definitely a lot safer with my choices and putting things together.
You think differently. And when did you guys get signed to AEW? Because I remember seeing you guys at Daly's place. That was probably, was it prior to you getting signed, or like what was your kind of journey to AEW?
Oh, so it was a message I had sent to all the EVPs.
Tell us that story. That's a great story.
So just at the time, I was like bouncing between jobs. I'd actually just started working at a gym. Like, I think I worked 3 shifts before we actually started doing the AEW thing. But yeah, I messaged Kenny and the Bucks, and Matt Jackson got back to me, and they said they were interested in
us. What was the message that you sent?
It was just kind of like, hey, I'm really interested in what AEW is doing, and I'm a really big fan of how you guys are being an alternative and everything, and we'd love to be a part of it. So I sent a little like highlight video, and yeah, he got back to me, which like blew my mind, and said he was interested, and he brought us down. We worked Stu and Uno in our first match, and we did a couple darks, and then we ended up doing the Bucks match on TV. That was our first match on TV.
And were you signed at that point, or?
We got signed after.
Right after the Bucks match.
Yeah, I remember seeing you guys. Like, I vividly remember saying something outside of Daly's place in the back area. You know, where you leave and where you enter. And you
yep.
And I remember seeing you guys, like, all these, you're like kind of just little kids, like, just kind of like looking like all wide eyed, and like, I never saw your match. You guys had a good match or whatever it was. But I still remember that moment of just seeing you guys, and you're just kind of sitting there. And then we actually worked a match.
Yep.
Like, was it me and Sammy or was
it Max?
Me and Max.
Yep.
And I remember thinking, I think you were 19 and you were, are you 2 years older?
A year and a half.
Yeah, so you're 21. Yeah. I was like, these guys' combined age is still like 7 years. But that was great though, yeah, because I remember that Bucks match was the big kind of coming out for you guys.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Now let's talk about you, Action. Talking about you. Yeah. So I saw you in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
You did a match with QT.
Yep.
What do you remember about this? Because then I said to Sanjay, do some promos with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they took you outside. So kind of talk about from your side of the coin.
So yeah, as soon as I got done wrestling the match, like, you know, I talked to QT a little bit, but then it was kind of Sanjay just pulling me like to the side, like, let's go outside real quick. And then he had me cut a promo on the match. And then I cut a other different couple promos with different scenarios and did like another two or three. And then you came around from the corner. And then you had me cut a couple promos with different scenarios. And then the one that you said you love so much was the one I did on Sammy Guevara. Mm-hmm. You told me to cut the one on Sammy Guevara. And in that moment, like, it was a lot for me too, seeing like all the cameras, all the lights out there. Like, the adrenaline's still going off after the match. So it was definitely a lot for me at the time because I wasn't used to all that. But, and, you know, I just did my normal thing. Well, it's funny
because I wanted to see, like you did such a good job with QT, right? But we have a lot of guys on the roster, and there's a lot of acrobatic, athletic guys. It's like, what kind of a promo can you do? So when you were doing those, I was hiding behind the corner listening.
Yeah.
Because we took you outside, right? That's how we did it. And then I was like, okay, let me see. Like, I'm going to walk around the corner and just, like, do a promo on Sammy Guevara. And what impressed me so much is with no hesitation, he cut, like, this great minute-long promo on Sammy. Because some people might go, like, well, give me a second, or, okay, hold on. You just did it. And I was like, that's really cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never forget that, man. It was a crazy moment for me right there. Seeing you walk out there, I was like, holy shit, this is Jerry. He's putting me to the test right now. I better pass.
Yeah. Well, then I went and told Tony. I said, this guy did a great promo. We should sign him. But if you do, don't bring him back because I had this idea. And so then you did get signed, right?
Yeah, I did get signed that night.
That night?
Yeah, a little bit after cutting those promos, probably 30 minutes later, I got pulled to the side, taken to an office, and yeah, they offered me the contract right there.
How did that feel?
Incredible, man. Incredible. That drive home for me was something else, you know, just it was just a year ago that we wrestled.
Mm-hmm. The week after San Antonio.
Yeah, in Garland, Texas.
That's right, yeah.
And we just were in that building last week too. Mm-hmm. So
that same week. Yeah.
So stepping in that building again was like, you know, I had to take a deep breath and soak all that in again, you know, just
right.
I remember like the hallway where I walked back from the curtain from when we wrestled, and you know, everyone applauded me and stuff. I walked through that same hallway and I just like soaked all that in real quick, and it felt really good to just be in that building again.
How was it for you guys when you got offered the contract after the match with the Bucks?
I almost didn't believe it. It was really crazy because it was like right after, and I believe this is when everyone had to like sit out in the crowd.
Right.
We couldn't quite have the fans
that was
yet.
Our audience was us.
Yeah. And so we were out in the audience, and after the Bucks match, TH2 jumped us, and Helico and Jack Evans.
Uh-huh.
And so we were sitting there like, should we be front row for Jack Evans and then Helico coming out here?
So we were out there, and like they had just jumped us. So there was obviously like tension there, and we were kind of no selling the tension.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, Tony just like calls us over the loudspeaker to come to like the back or whatever. And just
over the loudspeaker?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So we were just like sitting in the front row. And I think it was honestly just like, it might have been a couple other extras, but it was very obvious that it was like us right there.
Yeah.
TH2, who we were feuding.
So we just thought we were getting called back just to like not be in the shot as TH2 was coming in, making their entrance. And we actually ended up coming back, and CD was right there, Christopher Daniels. And right there, he told us that we were getting signed. and we were also running out after the match.
So you almost feel like when you get that call that you're getting in trouble or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Luther was saying when they called him in the office. He thought he was going to get fired, but he got a contract.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So why was it for you, Action, when you were, you get signed, but then nobody's calling you, right? Yeah.
I was definitely in my head about it a little bit. I was like, I thought I performed really well against QT. You complimented me after the match, and I'm just sitting at home waiting like for an email to come somewhere. I was telling like QT that night, I was like, I pulled up like the dates that were coming up. I was like, I can drive to this one, that one. Like, I just want to come back, and never got any invite back. And yeah, I definitely was like, wow, like what's going on here? What am I... Am I going to be used here in AEW, or am I just going to be a guy that like comes around like once every 2 months or something? Mm-hmm. Like, am I going to keep being an extra? And there was one show that I came to that was in, I think it was in Virginia, West Virginia. And, you know, I showed up then, and when I showed up, everybody like recognized me, all the talent here in AEW. And they were all like, welcome back. Like, hey, good to see you again. Like, because I came before and like been an extra and done dark matches, and you know, no one ever knows who you are when you're just an extra. You know, you'll shake hands and whatnot, but nobody knows who you are. But this time coming around, coming back, I was shaking hands and people were like calling me by my name, which that was really cool to me. I was like, oh, I am a part of this roster now. I am a part. Okay, this is cool. So I still didn't do anything because there was something being made in the works. But
did you figure that out at all? Or because the idea that I said, like, I didn't want you at any of the shows. Like, I didn't want you working at all.
Yeah.
Just people completely forget about who this guy is, you know?
No, I had no idea what was coming. We ran into each other, and we had small conversations, and you said, hey, like, you know, you did really good. You know, we might end up doing something, but that could mean anything to me, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
it's wrestling, right? Nothing means anything to
me. Yeah, the whole Jericho Appreciation Society at that time right there, you know? So I thought I was maybe going to wrestle, like, Sammy or Garcia or something like that, and... Yeah, and then I came back to another one in Baltimore, and it was just the same thing. People still, like, you know, recognizing me and, you know, coming up to me, complimenting me on the match. So, yeah, but being at home and, you know, I was still working a job then. You know, I was signed, but I was still, like, working a full-time job, clocking in every day. Like, little did I know what was in front of me in a couple months. But, yeah, I signed that first contract in October, and we wrestled in December. So that's, like, two months
of
just,
right?
You know, just... questioning what's going to happen, what am I going to do from here on out,
right. So how was it for you guys growing up together? Obviously you started wrestling very young. At 19 you're in AEW, but I'm sure you wrestled years before that. Was it kind of something you guys had planned to do since you were little kids, be a tag team together?
Actually, surprisingly, we didn't plan on really being a tag team together. We were just both really into wrestling, and honestly, our first few matches, I felt like we were only getting booked against each other.
Yeah, for sure.
I think for like the first five or six matches, I wrestled him in singles matches, and I haven't been heel a lot in my career. That's probably the only time I've really been heel in my career.
It's your little brother too, right?
Yeah. So...
Yeah, no, we just have had that chemistry and stuff, and I think we kind of started getting more tag bookings around, like, 2018, and then at some point, we were, like, only doing tags pretty much consistently a lot on the indies.
Yeah, we used to play the video game over at our neighbor's house, and then once we moved, this was my fifth grade year, into our house that we have now, we started watching, and it's really funny because I'll tell this, like, to people in the locker room, and they'll just go, oh. Man, you're making me feel so old. Because when we started watching, I believe Sheamus had just won the Royal Rumble.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that would have been my fifth grade year. So I was about 11 years old when that happened. And we just kept going from there. We started putting out these videos in our backyard of like highlights of us wrestling, doing moves. And someone reached out to Darius on Twitter and was like, hey, you guys want to come use our ring? And so...
Which sounds... kind of weird.
Very, very sketchy.
Messaging like 13-year-olds. But then, yeah, we went there, and it actually turns out they were like 14. So like, yeah, and we ended up training there, and some local indie wrestler started coming around and teaching us like actually how to properly do the moves and stuff. And then in 2016, Ken Anderson and Molly Holly, Eric Cannon, and the Davaris, they opened up the Academy up in Minnesota. So I was a part of the first class there. I was actually the first graduate there. And yeah, it was like cool to learn from so many different minds, because those are like very different styles, right? Very different people. And I was fortunate enough to learn from like all of those coaches and be able to like use all of that knowledge.
Well, you get trained properly, right?
Yeah. For sure.
Who did you train with, Faction?
I trained at MCW in Maryland.
Oh, okay.
My trainers' names were Dean Gutridge and the Bruiser, and really smart guys, really well educated in wrestling. And unfortunately, the one, the Bruiser, one of my trainers, he passed away from cancer. Mm-hmm. So he had a whole thing called like Bruiser Strong, where like people donated money to his thing, and he had so much money that was donated to him. He was a big idol for a lot of people, and really, really, you know, stern, hard-ass guy. He would, like, make you, like, he would put you in check, you know, call you a fat ass if you were a fat ass. Not make you feel totally bad, because he would always say, I used to be a fat ass, too. Like, you just got to change that. You know, if you want to be in this ring, and you could be fat or whatever, but you can't be getting blown up in my ring, or you're going to have to get out of here. Like, he would make you, like, from a boy to a man, in a way, you know? Like,
right.
But he was definitely a big role model for, like, myself and all the students at that school.
You guys started to do a lot of shows at First Avenue.
Yeah, so I would probably say that's like my home promotion. What's Eric Cannon runs it. It's called First Wrestling.
Oh, it's called
First. It is
called
with First. A one, yeah, instead of an I.
But yeah, Eric Cannon, which is one of my head trainers and has like really helped, I think, the both of us a lot in our careers and given us a lot of opportunities. He booked us on these shows, these WrestlePalooza shows that are 18 plus, but I was getting booked as a 16-year-old and stuff. So then I would have to do the show, and then I'd have to like leave or whatever. Right. Like someone would have to be watching me. But yeah, no, it was just cool to get the opportunity to work with people like Ethan Page or like Jimmy Jacobs. I worked with there a few times. So it's cool to get those opportunities to learn from those
people. Did you guys lie about your age being so young?
Only for like the first couple of like five matches. That's actually why we used to wear the masks on the independents.
Yeah.
To get into the venues.
We wore the masks because we got in so young. They just said we looked like kids and like wasn't really believable. But then when we put them on, all of a sudden we're like 30-year-olds.
Yeah. I don't know. Mine was Angel Dorado. It was just the Golden Angel. Yeah. I put it in a Google Translate one day.
And mine was just Airwolf.
Airwolf, that's right. Yeah. When you first came here, you had masks like as your ring entrance or something like that, right? Or just
Yeah, that was more so like so people who were familiar with us more so like before could kind of see it on like a bigger stage, because we had just taken them off for the first time. We did the GCW Collective, and we kind of got like a lot of buzz coming out of that, and that was a couple weeks before we debuted at AEW. But that was like our first time really working without the masks, I think, because we were coming out of the pandemic and stuff, and
right.
Made the decision during the pandemic to drop the masks, ironically.
Angel Dorado. There's probably 1,000 Angel Dorados in Mexico City.
Oh, yeah. It was the worst, because originally it started out as Angel Caedo, which is the fallen angel. And nobody could pronounce it, including me for the most part. So I put that into Google Translate, Golden Angel instead. And that's how I came up with that one.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Let's talk about the night in Garland, Texas. This is Tech Garland, Texas action.
Oh, yeah.
When we had our match. So let's tell me about what you recall about the whole day.
Man, so I finally got that email to get officially invited back. You know, I got my first flight. It was my first time ever getting a flight for any wrestling show.
Really?
Yeah, I've always taken long drives, you know, with a group of people. I never had any, like, indie shows where I got flown out. So it was my first time getting flown out for a wrestling show. that was cool. And I remember landing. These two were the first guys I saw when I got to the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, first guys I ran into. And, you know, they were just so welcoming to me right off the bat. So cool. Just, like, I feel like I've known these guys for years. And, like, just, yeah, good guys. But, yeah, get to the hotel that Tuesday. I mean, not really sure what I'm doing. I saw the House of Black was in action, and I saw Chris Jericho was in action.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was literally, like, had my fingers crossed. I was like, oh, please, please, let this be what I'm doing. Let this happen. And, yeah, I remember getting to the venue. I'm walking through catering, and I see you. And you're like, hey, well, I was just talking about you. And you're like, it's me and you tonight. And I'm just like, yes. No selling it. I'm like, oh, heck yeah, cool. But in my head, I'm freaking out. And you're like, yeah, we'll you know, meet in an hour. We'll talk in my office. So just come in whatever time it was. I'm in your office. It's me, you, and Aubrey. You're going over the match with me. And, you know, you talk about what we're going to do. And I'll be honest, at first, when you were telling me what we were doing in the match, I was like, damn, I'm just getting my ass kicked out there tonight. I'm taking a couple things and then getting pinned. It's all good. I'm still wrestling Chris Jericho, but and then you keep going on more and more. I'm like, oh shit, this is still going. We're doing more than that, okay? And then you know keep saying everything else that you had planned or your ideas, and then you say you're gonna hit the running shooting star press and 1, 2, 3, and my jaw was dropped. Aubrey's jaw was dropped too. She me and her were both like, what are you doing? Yeah. And you say, don't tell anybody, like, you cannot tell anybody about this. And I wanted to tell these guys, that's what I'm doing, like, I think I'll be here for a little while. But yeah, and then, you know, it was just like, all right, get your gear on, get ready. We were like a halfway segment on the show.
Something like that, crossover.
Yep, yep. So at that moment, like, I had to, like, collect myself, you know, just... All right, you got to do this. You're wrestling on live TV for the first time ever. There's going to be a lot of people watching, and you got to go out there, and you got to show out, and you got to kill it. So it's definitely a lot at that time for me, but I just had to keep my cool, you know, do my thing like I do in any other type of, you know, wrestling match I'm in, or just like I'm in, treat it like I'm in training, you know, and not worry about all the people that are there and all the people watching, like, live from home. And, yeah, man, I've watched that match back a lot of times and just, you know, enjoyed the moment. It was so cool, and I feel like we worked well together in that ring, you know?
Yeah, I wanted to, like, do kind of like a modern-day 1-2-3 kid and Scott Hall, but if you watch that match, Scott Hall just, or Razor, just beats the shit out of 1-2-3 kid for, like, 8 minutes and then rolls him up.
Yep.
I didn't want that. I wanted people to think, like, oh, this kid's doing good, but there's no way he's going to win. Like, there's no way. But then you finally did, you know what I mean? And the only thing that I wish we could have changed, I remember I hit you with a code breaker right before we went to break.
Yeah.
And my idea was I just wanted to sell that for 3 minutes. I knew that, like, people started smelling what was, like, this is not, because they're chanting, let's go jobber.
Yep. Okay,
let's go jobber. So he kicks out of the code breaker, and I'm like, and I just wanted to just sit there for 3 minutes, like, and you started moving, and I said, Aubrey, tell him not to move.
Yep.
Tell him not to move. But then you got up and we continued. But I just, it's still in my mind's eye. I think if you just would have lied there,
yes,
I could have, for 3 minutes, had people going crazy for that.
Just by laying down.
Just by laying, yeah. You kicked
kick
out
of a code breaker.
And like just the look of my eyes, like,
your facials, yeah.
But yeah, but I wanted a real, like, holy shit moment, because nobody expected that, you know? And that's kind of what happened. It was great.
We had them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one was ready for that. We blew the internet up that night.
How was it for you guys when you first worked with Matt and Nick with the Bucks? Because that was your coming out party, so to speak.
Yeah, it was insane. And, they're just like a different level of good. Something we've never been in the ring before. And I would say, like, every time I feel like we've been in the ring with the Bucks, I feel like we really create something. And the Bucks and Kenny, I feel like as a singles, when Darius got hurt for the first time, when I got in there with the Bucks and Kenny, that's what really gave me that push I needed to be a single star, and gave me, like, it was my blowing up of the internet.
Did you work with all three of them in this match?
Yep, it was me and Matt and Mike Seidel versus Kenny and the Bucks.
Gotcha. Yeah, so like you said, that's a whole next level of professionalism, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Being at home watching that match and seeing him get his little shine that night, I was like, holy crap.
I even sometimes go back on YouTube and watch that moment.
Yeah, I was injured at the time too, so I was watching that little moment from home, and it was cool seeing that.
Was it hard though watching when you're injured?
Not really. I don't think, because I don't know. We're still so young that, like,
yeah,
we have all the time in the world. I think a lot of people think we're like injury prone, but listen, if we've been wrestling for 10 years, yeah, and this is kind of our first injuries, and we're still so young.
Yeah, I don't say that at all. Yeah, especially when one of yours was a car crash.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, no, it's just cool to see like my little brother doing that, because I know like how crazy he is and how athletic he is. I know that he has the potential to be one of the best wrestlers in the world. So it's cool to see that kind of pan out in real time.
Right.
You know?
Well, the level of athleticism for all three of you guys is next level. That's just kind of like, I remember being a high flyer like in the early 90s, and I did we call the reverse victory rolls, or like a Frankensteiner, where you jump up on the guy's shoulders and then take a second, like, and no one can believe it. And my first time in the lion salt, it was like the craziest thing in the world. Now it's like you do a lion salt in the lockup. How did you guys get so athletic? Did you practice? Did you do gymnastics, or was it just natural? And how does that work?
I feel like for me, all my sports kind of gave me the body control to do everything that I'm doing in the ring now. So when I first hit eighth grade, all my friends were on the swim team. And I tried out for it, and I was like, man, I'm getting blown up. Just going down and back once or twice, and they're swimming for like 2-hour practices just back and forth. So I saw all the divers over there on the diving board, and I was like, I feel like that's something I could do. I've been able to do a backflip since just about like elementary school. I tried it off a picnic bench a couple times and eventually landed it. So I did that, and it really landed me with like shooting stars and different types of backflips, and I ended up making it to state for my sophomore, junior, and senior year of high school.
For what sport?
Diving. And then once I hit about, I want to say, junior year, my friends would do track. And so then I was like, oh, you know what? I'll do track. Same thing kind of happened where they wanted me to be the distance runner. And I was like, oh, man, I don't know. Those pole vaulters over there kind of, so they look like they're having fun. Yeah. So then I got into pole vaulting pretty good. And yeah. And I made it like, to pretty close to the top of my section for pole vaulting. I cleared like 15 feet my senior year.
So let's talk. I've been doing Talk to Jericho for 10 years and never talked about pole vaulting before. How do you do that? Like, what's the secret?
So there's like a huge crash pad. And then right before the crash pad, there's like a metal, what's called like a box. It's just like a little slant in the ground. And that's where you're supposed to put the pole? Yep. Yeah. And so you have like a pole, and it's assigned to like your weight. And you pretty much run, and you, as soon as you like drop the pole down into the box, the pole almost like bends, and you get like this spring up. And from there, it's a little bit scary because you have to like pretty much go upside down and go like feet to the sky until you get right over the pole. And then you turn like a half twist over the pole and make sure you're like, you don't knock it down. And yeah, you pretty much just fall.
Any bad wipeouts doing that? Like, you have to be totally committed to that.
Luckily, I haven't. I've seen a couple bad ones. I've seen a couple people lie about their weight and then get like a too light of a pole and have the thing just snap.
There's some rough videos on
there. For sure.
I've definitely seen some videos of people just missing the crash pad completely.
Gosh, yeah. They just snapped right over, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So pole vaulting and diving.
Yep. Yep.
That's crazy, man. Even diving is such an art form too.
Yeah, for sure. And the funny thing is I was terrible at the high jump, which a lot of people look at me and be like, how? And just going off the single leg, I never got it. Yeah, I never got it.
How about you,
Darius? I did throwing in track, so I did discus and shot put, and I did wrestling for a couple years. I did not understand, like,
he was a great wrestler. He did what was it? He did a Hurricane Rana to somebody. Hurricane Rana.
Like amateur wrestling.
Yeah.
I seen like a clip that was viral of in an amateur wrestling match, a dude did like a backflip out of a single leg takedown. And I was like, you know what? That's a dope spot. I'm going to try it. So I went in the wrestling practice room with my friend, and I just kept practicing that move. And then like during the match, I just kept baiting the dude to go for the single leg. And when he did it, I did it. But it kind of ended up more so like a Rana. And everyone knew I was like super into wrestling and stuff. So they're like, yeah, you can't do that. This isn't WWE.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
How about you, Action?
I'm a little similar to Dante. Diving boards, you know, I wasn't on the diving team, but I'd go to like the, you know, local pool like every summer with my friends, and we would always try to outdo each other on the diving board, you know, see who could top each other's moves. Trampolines, same thing. I had a friend of mine who lived like right next to the pool, and he had this huge trampoline. It was in the shape of an octagon, ginormous trampoline. So same thing. We would always try to outdo each other on there. And playing high school sports, I did pole vaulting too for a little while as well. Yeah. So maybe that's the secret there, doing pole vaulting. But yeah, football and wrestling, did that as well. Went to States my senior year of wrestling. And yeah, I feel like just having like a background in sports and doing like different stuff.
Just being an athlete.
Yeah. Like you said, with the body control, Dante, like, you know, playing sports like that really helps you have that body control that you can transfer over to professional wrestling.
But, I remember 94 or so, and I was working a lot in Japan, and Ultimo Dragon was like, I think you can do a shooting star press. I think you can do one. And I was like, really? He goes, yeah, you can do all these other things. So I got in my head that I had to do a shooting star press, so I went to the diving board. I was living in tent, just outside of Knoxville, Morristown, Tennessee. It was outdoors, and the diving board was really bouncy, but I could do the shooting star press off the diving board. And so I was like, this is going to be easy. And of course, you go to the top rope and then tried it there, but there's no spring.
Yeah.
Literally landed right on my head. And the second time, I broke my arm, which is the scar there. And I was like, yeah, I can't do a shooting star. On the diving board, it was so easy.
Yeah. You know, it gives you that like natural push out, and you have like that mentality, though. If I fail, it's just the water.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you have the rope, they'll push off, and there's a hard mat.
Yep.
It's a different style, for sure.
I've done shooting stars off the diving board, and I have landed on my stomach before. And like doing a normal backflip off the diving board, I've hit my head, just not going out. And I was so young, too.
Oh, yeah.
I just remember so much blood coming from my head. Like, the lifeguard was freaked out. It was, yeah. So, yeah, I've taken
my fails. How about for you guys, when you first came, you mentioned Action, that your first match here was your first live TV match, and for you guys too, was there a big change to try and figure out how to work live TV and where the cameras are and all that stuff?
Definitely. I didn't know what a hard cam was when I came in here.
I was just like slightly familiar with it. I was with MLW for just a little bit, and they kind of have TV production in that, so I learned a little bit with that because I did a few shows with them. But yeah, for the most part, this is like the bigger experience, and like actually like seeing all of this camera stuff, because it was much smaller of a production with them.
Sure. But same concept, at least you know where you're supposed to be looking.
Yeah.
You know, and that sort of thing.
One thing that threw me off, I remember you said to me, like, whatever the times were, you were like, we have 4, 3, and 5. Okay, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah. 4, 3, and 5, what?
That was definitely something I wasn't used to, was like That's the commercial stuff.
Yeah, having the time limit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's always been something. I remember the first time I had, like, you know, my first match in WCW was against Jerry Lynn, Mr. JL, and we got 7 minutes. I'm like, 7 minutes? Like, that's just starting, like, wrestling around. Yeah. 7 minutes? What can I do in 7 minutes? But
Yeah, for sure.
So how was it for you guys after you get signed? You worked with the Young Bucks and that sort of thing. What are some of your favorite feuds that you've had since then?
I think every time we've stepped in there with the Bucks, it's really fun, because I think we just bounce so many ideas off each other, and we just come up with so much stuff and get really creative with it. I also really liked everything we did with the BCC last year. I guess it was the beginning of this year.
Right.
Yeah, we wrestled like Mox and Danielson and Claudio and Yuta. And I think every time we were in there with them, we really brought the fight to them. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just like a really different side of us that people weren't used to seeing at that point, because they think we're just like high flying. Right. You know, they're kind of comparing us to more so the Bucks style, but seeing that we can scrap with like the BCC was a whole nother element that people didn't see before.
Sure.
I would agree on all of those too. One that really helped me as a performer was Seidel. And Seidel has been like a huge mentor to me since Darius has been out. And he's really, I got to give him a lot of credit to how far I've come.
So what kind of advice did he give you?
Oh, man. So much that I can't even really, like, think of one off the top of my head. It's just little things.
when I first had my match with him in Jacksonville, we had one on Dark, and wrestling with him was just like, it was different because he's just such a wrestling genius, like technical wise and all of that. And we ended up having the second one, which got another viral moment out of it, the Sunset at Sunset.
Which was that?
It was me and Seidel number two on Dynamite.
Yeah.
And that was with at Daly's place where it used to be like open, that wide open area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we had planned on doing a sunset flip, me to him, in that match. And during it, as we were going out, we're sitting in Gorilla like, oh man, there's actually a sunset out there that you can see. So there's a cool shot of me getting the sunset flip on him at sunset. Yeah. So that one was pretty cool.
That's cool. Yeah, he's a great wrestler.
Yeah.
How about for you, actually, when you come in, you work Chris Jericho, you know, you jump right into a feud with the JAS,
yep.
And starts with a ball with you.
Mm-hmm.
You got thrown into the deep end.
Oh yeah.
Promos and matches and main events, and it's like you said, this is your first live television experience, but you were not given any leeway at all. You were expected to deliver
right
out of the gate.
Yep. Yeah, it was just same thing with going in there with you. Just show out, do my thing, you know. Don't let anybody down or myself down, you know, because it's just treat it like any other wrestling match that I've had in the past, you know. Don't get too in my head about it. Like, this is a Rampage main event that's on live TV. Like, you know, that can get to you a little bit, sure. But I, you know, just try to, like, you know, keep cool and just have fun out there and just have a good time. And I had some great Rampage matches with Sammy. You know, those were some of my favorite matches here. Wrestled Garcia on Rampage as well. Recently wrestled Moxley and Miro a couple months ago. Those were matches I really enjoyed. Sabre Jr. was another one I really liked. So, yeah, I've had a lot of great opportunities to wrestle some of the best that this company has.
That's how it goes, too. Like, in the business, you're kind of on a wheel. Like, sometimes you're working on top, and then you go back down again. How did you feel about that? Because you're doing all these main events, and then when our story's done, then you're kind of, you know, doing other matches.
Yep.
You know, just kind of random.
Yeah. I just looked all of them as great opportunities. You know, these are guys who I've like looked up to, who I've like have studied and watched, and I like genuinely think are some of the best that this company has to offer, or any company has to offer. So I just, if it's gonna make me a better wrestler, then what the hell? What else can I ask for? You know,
right.
I had so many opportunities to wrestle some of these guys that have made me so much smarter in the ring, I feel like, and just like picking their brains and seeing how they look at matches and how they put together matches. It's like, it's stuff I've never like had any like opportunity to like have happen before. So like I said, if it's something that's going to make me better, it's only going to help me out in the long run.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you mentioned working with the BCC, and I even noticed that the other day in that match on Rampage, like I commented, like Darius, all three of you guys, but especially Darius, just had this mean look on your face and throwing these kind of wicked shots. I mean, that's so important in wrestling, because flying is great, but the hard-hitting style is what gives you the longevity, I think.
Right. I think that's just kind of like advice I've always heard from people. It's like, nobody knows what like a moonsault feels like,
that's
but
right.
They know
true.
What like getting
true.
Slapped or feels like, or some like moves that they can relate to, mm-hmm. simple stuff like that. The stuff that they can relate to just translates better, I think, and helps do connection with the crowd.
Yeah, I remember the first time I did a tackle with Moxley when he was Ambrose, and it was like, this has to be the finish of the match, because, like you said, people don't know what it feels like to take a body slam, but everyone knows it's like to prick your finger,
yeah.
Like an attack, or like a needle, like this has to be the most painful thing
ever,
because everyone's going to know what it feels like times 100 of these things.
Really. Yeah.
That's how you have to relate to matches, you know, like how do people feel these things that we're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what about the when you were talking about the Miro match and you did the thing with CJ and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah. It was another just random AEW opportunity, you know? It's kind of how things work here. You just, sometimes you show up, you're not sure what you're going to do. And, you know, sometimes you might have something thrown at you that is just like, oh shit, like this is happening. But, CJ and Miro, they came up to me and they said, we're going to do a promo. And I thought they were just messing around with me, honestly. Like
we had gotten tag gear that day.
Yeah, so we got matching
tag gear.
Yeah.
We were like trying it on. We're like, all right, we're good. We're about to tag tonight. Like,
yeah.
have a fresh new
super
fits.
Nice sparkly jackets, all this stuff. Like, I'm literally trying
that,
mine on
that we were trying to get for so long. Oh, like, we were so hyped we finally got this gear after like months and months.
Yeah.
And we're like, finally tonight.
Yeah. Nope. We're gonna look official out there, you know, as a legit tag team. And then yeah, as I'm trying the gear on, Lay pulled me to the side and we're like, yeah, we're gonna film something real quick. And then yeah, you know, me and CJ, we filmed the promo where she's like saying she's looking for a new someone to manage. And I stepped in and I said, I feel like, you know, I could use your guidance. And then me and Miro wrestled the match the next week. And Miro's a really, really good guy. He's also like someone that I learned from in the ring too. You know, just I really like his style. Even though he's like a big man, he still knows how to work with like the, you know, guys of my style. Like him and Sammy had some really good matches. I was watching those like prior to our match. So yeah, it was something that was just kind of randomly happened one day while I was here at work. And, you know, I've watched like all their stuff they did in the past. And yeah, I think it was really cool to be able to like get screen time with, you know, such big name people in this company. So yeah, that was a really cool one right there.
Let's talk about your injury, Dante, in the match that you had. I can't remember, who were you working with?
It was a ladder match. So it was Penta and Phoenix, Aussie Open, The Kingdom.
Rush and Jalisco
were in there.
Yep.
Team left. Yep. A lot of bodies going around. A lot of flipping and
flying. Those matches, they're so exciting, but there is a tendency to get hurt, right?
For sure. And that one was, like I was saying earlier, luckily I had the adrenaline going, but as soon as it happened, weirdly, I looked at it and it felt like I was in a dream.
Flip onto a table?
Yeah. Yep. I took a Canadian off the top rope through four stack tables.
Wow.
And your
foot hit the ground. Right?
Yep. My left leg hit the ground just slightly before my right. And I had a broken fibula and a dislocated ankle. And yeah, super weird because the first thing I did was look at it and you could see me in the video like roll over to my butt and I tried to put it back. And Doc Sampson, luckily we got Doc, comes running over. He's like, no, don't touch it. And it felt like I was in a dream because I wasn't feeling anything. The adrenaline was going, like the shock was going. Originally, I thought of the Anderson Silva leg break. Have you ever seen the kick?
Yeah, yeah.
And I go, wow, well, he did that and he fought for like another 7-8 years. So I'm thinking I can wrestle again. So I go to the hospital and they were super good there. I was out of the hospital in 3 hours. They put my ankle back in and they hadn't seen the broken fibula yet. It was just like a crack. It wasn't a compound fracture. And so I went back and I was chilling with everyone. I was like, hey guys, I'm okay. And I had to wait 5 days because my leg was in a splint in LA. And I ended up flying back, getting another x-ray, and they're like, yeah, your fibula's broken as well. So then I was like, oh man, am I gonna need surgery on that? And they're like, yeah, we're gonna have to do surgery. So I have a plate and like 8 screws in there now. And all throughout rehab, I did a TCO in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. And I would just go there every day and with the goal of like, I got to get back. I got to get jump into the same height that I was jumping at because I feel like that was my thing, you know.
Right.
And so every day I would just go there and I would work my butt off. And, you know, now I'm feeling 100%. And really, I'm feeling maybe even 110% now because the titanium is really strong. Like, it's almost stronger than my bone. I know I can't. It's going to be hard to break it again.
I got that. When I mentioned the shooting star, I got the plate, the screws in there, all that stuff. And people always go, is it settled security at the airport?
Yeah. No. That was like my first question I asked coming out of surgery. I was like, so I travel for work. So am I going to be good going through through TSA?
How about you, Darius? Since you had a couple injuries, you're all fine.
Yeah, I'm feeling great. Luckily, this year, 2023, I've been smooth on injuries. but yeah, first full year, I guess, wrestling here at AEW, and I'm feeling better than I've felt in years for sure.
That's great. You just had your first anniversary, actually, like we mentioned.
Yep.
So what, like, because how long were you working before you got signed in MLW and all those places? Because when you got signed, there's a couple of guys that reached out, hey, this is my boy from
yeah.
What's the promoter's name in Baltimore?
Dan McDevitt.
That's it. Yeah.
4 years before I got signed. And this in January, it'll be 5 years coming up since I started training. Yeah. So, yeah, like I'm blessed, you know. But I always said, like, you get out of it what you put into it, you know. I was in the ring, you know, 3-4 times a week training, working on weekends. We used to do like birthday party shows, or we'd wrestle for like kids, and that's how you like got put on the actual shows that like the wrestling school ran. So
you have to do the birthday parties to do the actual shows.
Yes. Yep. So wrestle in front of a bunch of 5- and 6-year-olds, cut promos in front of them and stuff. To
and
like
your birthday party, also got paid a hot dog and a glass of orange juice.
Oh yeah, I didn't even get the orange juice.
It had like one of those like those standalone like play sets. So I had like the swing. I did like a swung on it and hit a run off of it.
Wrestling show for my birthday
party. Yeah.
Right, yeah. It's honestly a great idea. It's like, yeah, you have like, you know, the students that like I was, you know, get some experience. You give the kids a good birthday party, and you know, you make some money to, you know, keep the school running. So it's honestly a smart idea.
It's a smart idea.
Yeah. But yeah, after, you know, like being on the shows, you know, I got a lot of like great matches where I had opportunities to wrestle like some big name people. So that, like, you know, wrestling guys who were like a lot more experienced than I was. Like I wrestled with like Lince Dorado, Rich Swann, Leo Rush, Zachary Wentz, guys who have been doing it a lot longer than me. So like getting in there with some guys who were like a lot more like seasoned than I was definitely helped me, you know, become a lot better, a lot quicker, you know.
How long have you guys been wrestling for?
I started, my first match was when I was 15, so.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That would have been my 8th grade year I started.
Eighth grade year.
I was a freshman when I had my first.
Actually doing shows?
Yep. Yep.
What did you tell your parents? Did they care?
No, they were okay with it. Yeah. Surprisingly.
We've been so, like, since we started watching wrestling, we just got super into it really deep.
Yeah.
Like, we watched all kinds of wrestling, not just like WWE. We figured out about indie wrestling very quickly. Yeah, and we just started going to shows. And
that's so amazing. Man. Like, that, like, I was into wrestling, but I couldn't even imagine actually doing shows. In 8th grade.
Yeah.
What did your, like, friends or teachers think?
They thought it was awesome. I didn't really tell, like, my teachers. I really told, like, my core friend group that I was doing it. But it wasn't, like, really something I was going around saying, like, hey, look, I'm in tights, everyone.
Yeah, same thing with me, too. I think, like, a bunch of the teachers figured out, like, right before I graduated, though, about this whole, like, wrestling thing. Because a bunch of them just randomly started coming up to me, calling me Airwolf. Well, actually, a couple of teachers, they had, like, bought my shirts and stuff, so that was cool. I don't know if you know Mortimer Plumtree. He was a manager back in the day, but he actually worked at my school. So, like, it was kind of interesting because he was just in, like, the theater department, and theater stuff.
Oh, I see.
And then he was just always kind of, like, giving me shit because I would just, like, mess around or whatever. And then I figured out he was, like, part of wrestling because he did music for Eric Cannon at First Wrestling.
Okay.
All of a sudden, I would talk to him all the time at school about wrestling, and he would give me advice about the business and stuff.
Yeah, he was a manager in TNA, I believe, right?
Yeah, TNA.
And he managed, like, AJ Styles for a little bit. And
well, there's such a huge history of wrestling in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, they used to come to Winnipeg, like, every month. It was the AWA, so we always had that connection with Minneapolis. And I remember also, like, going down to Minneapolis for the Valley Fair for with my buddies.
Yeah.
So Tyler, as we start to wind down, you mentioned the lads. That's your group of guys. Who's in the lads?
Three of us and Hook and Anthony Bowens.
That's great.
The five of us, yeah. I mean, they were kind of like a little crew before I, like, came in, and, you know, I just kind of naturally was hanging out with them, and then, you know, I guess I got inducted into the lads one day. Now I'm the fifth member.
Was it hard at first when you came into this company, like, trying to fit in and find people to hang out with?
So, like I said, me and Dante, you know, we like ran into each other on a couple independent shows. And this guy was like, he was really cool to me at first. Like the day after we wrestled, we flew to Orlando to do the dark tapings there. And he just calls me and said, hey, you want to go to Universal? And I'm like, hell yeah, I want to go to Universal. Like, and he just went and he bought us tickets to go, man. My guy right here, give me some love.
You got to tell him the busted open story.
Yeah, and this guy, man, ruined my first interview I have after our match. You know, I'm getting interviewed, talking about everything, and he just calls me real quick, and he's like, he was calling me to, like, get my date of birth or whatever, because he was trying to get the tickets or my name or whatever. And I'm doing the interview, and I'm like, like, because they're talking, and my phone's ringing. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm getting a call. And I hit deny on the call, but then it closed out of the interview as well. And I'm in my hotel room and I'm in a panic. I'm like, holy, I was like, how do we get back? Like, how do I, like, what do I got to do? And then, yeah. And then we get back to the interview and they're like, oh, this guy beats Jericho one night. And he thinks he's like, out of all the guests we've had, no one has ever done that. But you beat Chris Jericho. You think you can just hang up mid-interview? Like, well, yeah, we made a little comedy moment out of it. So it was all good. But yeah.
Did you get a heat at all for beating me? Like, as if you had anything to do with it? Like, there's always some people
that's about to go to beat Jericho. No, I don't think so. I think I had a lot of people just like very proud of me because I was somebody who like not many people knew about. Like I wasn't a no name at all. Like I didn't break out on the indies or anything like that. Like, so it was, I think it was kind of like an inspiring like moment for like a lot of wrestlers coming up. Like that, like, oh wow, like you know, you did this. Like, you know, maybe one day I can do something like so special just like that. And, you know, just keep working hard. And a lot of the guys that I was like, you know, working with on the indies, I'm seeing like now like have like a little uprise and getting a lot of big opportunities. So yeah, I had more or less people just reaching out to me, congratulating me.
I was thinking about our match that we had in the pandemic, and I think it was a tape show, like, and we didn't have
yep.
A spot that totally up, try it again or something.
Yeah, yeah.
What were we doing? Something that makes sense.
You put me in the walls, or like you were right about to go for the walls, yeah. And I believe Darius did a sunset over you. So when you went back, you kind of catapulted me over the ropes on the max.
It didn't work.
We just kept ending up in the ropes. We did it like a couple times.
I think we got it the second time.
I want to say it was the third.
Second or third.
We didn't. I don't know if we kept making you.
At one point, it was just kind of like, okay, now we have to do this. Because I remember thinking, like, it happened another time too, with actually with Bowens, where it was like the great Chris Jericho, and I was like, you know what? I don't redo spots. You know, there's never anything that's so fucked up that you have to redo it. I remember that, I was like, no, we gotta redo it. Okay, stop, everyone stop, let's get this right. It's now a taped show. I remember editing that with Kevin Sullivan. It's like, wait, can we get another different angle this way and make it look better? And he pulled it off, but I just think it was those great. Last phase, who were some of your influences for you guys when you were just young guys, while well, you're still young, but watching us get the start?
I feel like I have like a lot of different influences. I don't know, I like all different types of wrestling, so I would watch like Dean Malenko and Rey Mysterio, and I really like that style of wrestling. The same way I'd watch like the Young Bucks wrestle the Motor City Machine Guns, and that type of stuff makes me fall in love with tag team wrestling.
Right. And what's you?
I don't know if I would say like really big influence. I just always liked the aura of Randy Orton, and AJ Styles was like another cool one. Ricochet coming up in like PWG was one for me. I really liked your work, and I had a really funny story about it. We have a little brother who's not really the little brother. He's like, now he's 6'3", like 220.
He's taller than both of us.
He's got all the genetics, but there was a time when I was in fifth grade, so he would have been in third maybe, and he was getting picked on. And for some reason in my mind, I'm like, there's two things I can do to this guy. Either I'm going to bro kick him or I'm going to give him a code breaker. And I decided, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give him a code breaker. And so I jumped up and I went for the code breaker, and it just ended up being like me kneeing the dude in the face and just taking a flat back on the ground.
The guy has to work. He might have been better off with the broke kick.
Yeah.
So did it work?
It did not. Well, it got him. It got him. It knocked his glasses off and gave him a bloody nose, but it also messed up my back a little bit. So it was kind of a double down there.
I remember that one time Michael Hayes used to suggest these spots in WWE, like, never really did all on his match, but why are you going to give Mark Henry code breaker on the floor? So I do, and Mark's obviously a big dude, and giving him a code breaker on the floor, I jump up, I land on my back on the floor, he lands on my knees, which then lands on my back on the floor, it almost killed me. Oh, yeah. It was coming from Hayes. No more ideas. How about you?
I had a bunch too, like Darius said, there's so many, but definitely like the mid 2000s, like 2005 area and up, like was my favorite time when I like first started watching. Like I remember like one of the first SmackDowns I watched was when like Edge and The Undertaker were feuding, and they did the whole thing with like Vicky Guerrero and she was in the wheelchair. Like that's like when I like around when I first started watching. But like Jeff Hardy was definitely a big influence to me as a kid. Like RVD definitely was, but yeah, and it was cool. We wrestled the Hardys a couple weeks ago, and like I had a little standoff with Jeff, and like he said to me in the ring, like, you know, old versus new, and that was like a really cool moment, you know. Yeah, like young guy versus, you know, older guy, if you however you want to say that. But yeah, man, that was veteran. Yes, yes, veteran versus rookie. He still looks great though. Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah.
Is it cool for you guys to be in a locker room now with a, you know, Adam Copeland is here?
Of course.
Oh, so yeah, cool. Course. So yeah, cool.
It's like totally a lot of your.
And you talk about being humble too. It's like, it's hard not to be when you meet these guys and you see how humble they are. Like they're just like, they treat you like normal people. They shake your hand. They like, you know, they introduce themselves. So like when you see guys like that, like, carry themselves so like humble and just not have any type of, you know, ego to them or whatnot, it's like, it's hard to not be humble yourself, you know. They're like, they're role models to us, like when we were kids and still now, you know, being in the same locker room with them. So yeah, it's super cool being in the locker room with them.
I was telling them one of my career highlights, only being 22, I had Ric Flair buy me a drink, so that was that was a career highlight for me.
I was 26 and started in WCW. Ric Flair buying me drinks.
Oh man, that's crazy.
Last few things. So now you mentioned the trios team. It's only been a few weeks, you said.
Yeah.
It's been longer. There's been different variations of you guys teaming. Mm-hmm. So what's your mindset now as what your goals as a
well. I think our immediate goal is right in front of us tonight. We got the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass for the trios belts. So I think we can head into 2024 with some gold.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a big goal for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, we are ready for tonight. You know, it's not going to be easy. The Acclaimed and Daddy Ass, they've had a good little title run, but it might come to an end tonight on Collision. Oh. So
we'll see. Be on the cruise as the trios champ.
Hey, oh yeah,
would love
that'd
that.
Be awesome.
As soon as I saw that the match of the day, I said to Tony, because it's hard to get him to approve guys for the cruise now with Collision.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, please have that match, and he's like, yeah, sounds good. So we got everybody. And Penta just agreed to go. So it's
that's awesome.
Guys against Penta, Vikingo, and Commander is one of the.
Oh shit! Oh, we're gonna run it back on the cruise. Awesome.
Yeah, the cruise is like one of my favorite experiences ever. Yeah. Not even just in wrestling, just in life, of just being out there. And just, it was so weird, like, because that was the first time I've ever been out in like open waters like that. Yeah. So to wrestle on it was like such a cool experience.
You know how it's gonna work, right? You think it's gonna be moving?
Yeah, like, yeah. And a lot of the times you didn't even like know you're on a boat. You forget. You like it's like a little city. Yeah, yeah.
Last question: what's your favorite match that you've ever had? Does one of them stand out?
Mine is ours, man. The debut match, you know, that was a special one for me. That's something I'll talk about for decades. So that's, yeah, of course.
Go crazy, run around.
Yeah, yeah. Jumped into the crowd. Yeah, you know, it's funny, too. It's a funny story. You know, I'm doing the quote-unquote jobber entrance. Like, I don't have an actual entrance. As I'm walking down to the ring, the people who I jumped into, I go up to them. I say, hey, if I jump at you guys, will you catch me? And they said, really? Yeah, I got you. And then, like, I pointed to them before I jumped. Yeah. Like, yeah, you guys remember what I said? And they didn't know what the hell I was talking about. Like, why is he going to jump? And they caught me. Thank God they caught me, because who knows if they didn't. That could have been ruined. But if you guys are out there, you know, watching, send me a tweet or a message. I'd love to know who those guys are that called me. I got to give them a big thanks. But, yeah, that made that moment special there. Thank you.
Definitely the one we just had on Rampage was one that I didn't expect it to go as well as it did, and get a high praise from especially people like you. Kenny and the Bucks was another one that, like, the crowd had an insane reaction, and I was like, wow, like, if I could have this every night, that'd be insane.
Yeah, I'd say, honestly, the third one we had with the Bucks, the latest one, we finally got the win, third time's the charm, so... That was cool. I feel like every time with them, we're just always one-upping it. So I look forward to getting back in there with Kenny and the Bucks at some point when Kenny gets better, too, for sure.
Well, it's good having you guys. I look forward to seeing what you're going to do as this trio. And we'll see you on the ship, man.
For sure. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.